Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. This is not my my message, but let's read. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Let's read from. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Anyway, we're talking about the 3 days coming into his presence. Somebody say, can I go to church for 3 days? Yes, you can. People in the world, and some people who used, when you used to be in the world, used to go to the nightclubs and the bars every night. Right? You can make time for God if you want to. In John chapter 6, Jesus preached a 3-day meeting. The people didn't go anywhere. 3 days they were on the ground. And they heard his word. And after 3 days, they were hungry. And the people wanted to send them away. And he said, don't send them away. Give them food to eat. And he took bread and fish from a young boy and multiplied it and filled them. When we can be in the presence of God for hours on ending and days, when we are in the presence of Jesus, it doesn't matter. So let's make time to come out and do that. And it will be a glorious time. In this resurrection season, we will see the hand of God that in our lives. Let's read Hosea chapter 6. That's just an appetizer for what's coming. Hosea chapter 6. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. It says, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. Notice, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up. He will raise us up that we may live before him. So in these 3 days that we are setting aside for God, expect God to revive you. Expect God to raise you up. Expect God to heal you. Expect God to transform your life around. Say a big amen to that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Okay. So let's get into our Bible lesson for this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been studying about the Holy Spirit, about his work in our lives, and the gifts that are available for us. And this morning, we'll look at the word of wisdom. Last week, we looked at the gift of the word of knowledge. This morning, we'll look at the word of wisdom, and we'll trust God to take us as far as we can. I don't think we'll be able to go through all the gifts, but we'll go through the gift of the word of wisdom this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and we welcome our audience online as well via Facebook Live. Come and see us if you are in the Colorado Springs area. The warmest people are right here, and God's presence is here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gift of healing, or in the Greek literally says gift of healings by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Glory be to God. Verse 1 says that now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers or sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. So if he doesn't, or to be ignorant, if he didn't want the church at Corinth to be ignorant or uninformed about spiritual gifts, he certainly doesn't want us sitting here this morning to be uninformed or ignorant. You see, the enemy thrives in ignorance, but when we know about these things, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If we don't know about them, then we won't desire them for us to see these things in our lives. But when we know about them, then we are ready and we are open for the Holy Spirit to manifest himself as he wills. So we talked about the fact that in general we can group these gifts into three categories. The first one is the first category is the gift of power, the gift of revelation, or the gift that reveals something. That is the gift of the, number one is the gift of the word of wisdom, number two is the gift of the word of knowledge, and then the third one in that category is the gift of the discerning of spirit. Then the next category there is the gift of power, gifts that do something. The first one there is the gifts of faith. The second one is the gift of the working of miracles. And then the third one is the gifts of healings. And then the third category is the vocal gift, or the gift that says something. The first one there is the gift of prophecy. The second one is the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. And the third one is the gift of the interpretation of tongues. And we looked at the gift of the word of knowledge last week. Today we'll focus primarily on the gift of the word of wisdom, and we'll see some aspects in other areas where they work together as well. You see, all these gifts normally they don't work in isolation, but we just break them down to help us in our study of God's word. So when we talk about the gift of the word of wisdom, it's talking about the revelation. To define it, is the revelation of the plan and the purpose in the mind of God. I'll say it again. It's the supernatural revelation of the plan and the purpose in the mind of God. In the mind of God. And sometimes in studying Bible subjects, the best way to find out what something is to find out what it isn't. So this, the gift of the word of knowledge, is not natural wisdom that God gives to us, or it's not the wisdom that is available for all of us to live our Christian life. You see, like for instance, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Let's go there, please. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Thank you, Lord. This was Joshua preparing to lead the people of Israel into the land of promise. Moses had died. And so Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God told him on what to do. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Or the Amplified puts it this way. It says that you will know how to deal wisely in the affairs of life. So that's the wisdom of God that is available for us in our day-to-day walk, in our Christian walk, for us to be successful. He was telling him how to be successful. My Lord, to be successful in our Christian walk, he says, meditate on the word of God. Think about it day and night. Then you observe to do this thing. You be careful to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will know how to deal wisely in the affairs of life. Wisely. Well, we need that every day in our lives. And like the wisdom also that was available in the life of Solomon. Solomon, God came to him and said, "What do you want?" He said, "Lord, these people that you have given me, to summarize, he said, these people that you have given me, give me the wisdom and the understanding to be able to rule them." And then God said, "There you have it." You have it. And then in James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, if any one of us, let's look at that as well. James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if we lack wisdom, we can ask God as well, and he will give us wisdom. James 1, 5. Notice, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. This general wisdom that we need to live a successful life is available for us. It's available for us to ask. So if we lack wisdom in any area of our life, on any particular issue, we can go to God and say, Lord, reveal your wisdom to me. Give me wisdom in that area so I can be successful in that area. But when we talk about, that is different. When we talk about the word of wisdom, we are talking about a supernatural revelation of the mind, of the plan and the purpose of God. And that always has to do with the future. And that supernatural revelation sometimes can come through prophecy. It can come through tongues and an interpretation of tongues. It can come through a vision. It can come through a dream. But it always points to the future, and God is revealing to us what is in his mind and his purpose and plan. Sometimes it may concern nations. Sometimes it may concern a whole group of people. Sometimes it may concern your own life, but it always points to the future. And last week we talked about the fact that the word of knowledge has to do with the past and the present. Certain facts in the mind of God concerning the past and the present, but the word of wisdom always looks to the future. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. And so it's available to us. You see, let's say, for instance, God knows everything. He knows the past. He knows the future. But he only, as the Spirit of God wills, reveals to us what we need to know. A portion. A word is a fragmentary part of a sentence. So he's giving you a portion of what he knows, or what his plan is. That is why it's called the gift of the word of wisdom. Let's say, for instance, you go to a lawyer or a counselor. They've studied so many books to get to that point, but they will give you the piece that you need that applies to your case. So the gift of the word of wisdom is the supernatural revelation of the plan and purpose of God. Let's look at some examples in the Bible. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 to 16. Glory be to God. Acts chapter 9, 10 to 16. Thank you, Father. Now notice what he says. This was... Now, Acts 9, 10 to 16. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And there he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Notice verse 15. So the first part, he's meaning fact in the mind of God. That is the gift of the word of knowledge in manifestation. He says, rise and go to a certain street. He names the street Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, a particular person. And what is he doing? He's praying. There are so many people praying probably at that time, but he's pointing out that singular person. That's a certain fact in the mind of God that is being revealed. And then he continues, now verse 15, that is this, now he begins to talk about the future. So that is the word of wisdom in action. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ananias was thinking, Lord, and when God came to him, he responded and said, Lord. So he was on familiar terms with the Lord. He knew who he was speaking, but he said, please don't send me this way. This man is the most, he's been sent to kill people. He's been killing all these people and doing all these things. But God said, no, I want you to go. See, sometimes when God leads us to minister the word of God to other people, we reason it in our mind sometimes. This person is the chief of sinners. Lord, you want me to reach out to them? No, please find another person. But no, we have to have that attitude that never forget this verse. Romans chapter 5 verse 6. He says, Jesus Christ came and to die for the ungodly. Romans 5, 6, it says, for while we were still weak, our sinners, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. If anyone is ungodly, they qualify to receive Jesus Christ. If anyone is out there, no matter how bad, no matter the sin that they have committed, no matter the worst of things that they have committed, nobody has gone too far for God to rescue. Christ died for the ungodly. If they are ungodly, they qualify. Don't shun away. Just be bold and share the love of Jesus Christ with them. They may be your neighbor. They may be your co-worker. But deep down in their heart, there is a heart cry for God. On the outward, they may appear to be hard. They may appear to have an appearance. But no, there is a heart hunger in the heart of every person crying out to God. And he says, Jesus Christ came to die for the ungodly. Amen. Let's have that compassion and reach out to them and be like Ananias. He argued a little bit, but eventually he got down with the program and went to do it. Hallelujah. So through the word of knowledge, it was revealed to Ananias where Saul was, and through the word of wisdom, God gave him what was concerning the life of Saul, who later became Paul. There's another example also in the same book of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 5, in the life of Philip. Thank you, Father. God gave him supernatural direction on what to do. Initially, Philip was a deacon. He was serving tables. And he says, Acts 8, 5, says that, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. He went down for a citywide campaign in Samaria, and so many people and the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in the city. Now jump to verse 26. God is going to lead him to another place. Verse 26 says that now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he arose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, Enoch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Philip received supernatural direction on where to go. It said there's somebody here. Go and minister the word of God to this person. Notice it says, go over and join this chariot. My Lord, I can spend a whole month just on that phrase. Go over and join this chariot. You see, the people that we are trying to reach, like I said, they may be in our circle. They may not necessarily come to church. Go over and join yourself to them and preach the word of God. Minister the word of God. The man was out there. He was even reading the Bible. He didn't know what he was reading. But he said, go, go, go. Let that ring in your soul this morning. Go over. God gave him, but this in this case, the revelation came through an angel and he obeyed. The thing is, we must be willing to obey God when he reveals his plan to us. When he reveals what he wants us to do, we must be willing to do it. And you see, all this is sometimes like we think that these things should only be happening in church. These things, these ones necessarily didn't happen in church. Everyday people, Ananias, he calls him a disciple. That means he's a lay person. It can happen in the life of the ministry gifts, but in the lay person as well, we should be expectant for these things to happen. Philip, he was just on his way, and then suddenly an angel appeared to him. Ananias, the Lord appeared to him and said, go, go, go. Go. So we must. So in this case, it can come through the revelation of an angel as well. That's what happened to Philip. He says, rise and go down. God is revealing to him what he wants him to do. And thank God he obeyed and went. We must be willing to obey the Lord when he leads us to do it. To do what he wants us to do. We also see, and we also see that in the life of Noah, God talked to Noah about building an ark. That is a revelation of the word of wisdom. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 to 18. Glory be to God. God revealed what he wanted Noah to do. God revealed what he wanted Noah to do. Genesis chapter 6. Glory be to God. It shouldn't be hard to find if you are not using an app. It's right there. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 to 18. It says, and God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. And then you continue reading down what else he told them. And verse 22 said, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. He did all that God commanded him. God gave him advance and inside information. There is a flood coming. Get ready for it. There's a flood coming. Get ready for it. There's a flood coming. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. It is coming. It is coming. And he said, okay, yes, Lord, if you are telling me, I will obey you. And in his generation, the people were wicked. And think about it. And it took him a long time to build the ark. Every time he was putting nails in those arks, the people may be laughing at him. What are you doing? And you respond, God said there is a flood coming. I am getting ready for it. God said there is a flood coming. And when I finish building the ark, come and join me. There is a flood coming. The people were just, in the gospel, Jesus said, the people were just laughing and mocking him. My Lord, in our generation, I pray that we will be the company of people that are committed and dedicated to God. No matter whatever may be going on around us, no matter how wicked it gets, no matter how worse it gets, I pray this morning in the name of Jesus that you will be counted among the people standing in your generation for God, saying that I will serve the Lord. I will serve my God. I will follow after my God. Hallelujah. When the floods come, you will be riding high above the storm. You will be riding high above the flood. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. My Lord, when I was in high school, I was in a biology class, and the teacher started talking about evolution and how, I mean, God couldn't create this, and God, this whole thing is a farce. And my Lord, I got stirred up in my spirit, and I rose up and I began to reference the Bible. You have to be bold. You have to be bold about these things. Oh, I began to challenge him right in his biology class, and then after I did that, he responded and said, "This boy will be an evangelist." He was right about that. Oh, everybody was quiet and consuming what was not right. No, I won't take it. I responded to him with the word of God. God created this thing. In the beginning, God said, and there was. You see, from that time, and when we got to the third year, you have the option to do something different. I dropped the biology. It was one of the reasons, and I didn't like the fact that one of the experiments that we did was you have to take a lizard and cut the lizard into two and do all these analysis diagrams and all this. I said, forget that. I'm not interested. Give me the math and the equations. As soon as I do it and I put my double lines underneath it, the answer cannot change. The answer is the same. With a biology teacher, some if I give it to three biology teachers and I write a paper, I may get different marks. But I said, no, let you give me those math equations. I went that route. But the point is, I was willing to stand up when everybody else was not willing to stand up. Sometimes at work, sometimes when we are out there, even identifying that you are a Christian, people start to mock you and to make fun of your God. No, choose to stand out for God. In your generation, choose to stand out there for God and say, I will serve my God. I will serve my God. I will do all that he has commanded me. That is the secret to success. God can reveal, but we must be willing to obey when he reveals to us. And then, oh, come the storms of life may come. But thanks be to God, we will be in his presence. We are in a sheltered place. We are covered by him. And oh, we are riding high on the storms no matter what comes. I pray in the name of Jesus that will be your testimony. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Glory be to God. And then we see also in the life of Joseph, God revealed to him in a dream what was going to happen. And when he started talking about his dreams, his brothers started persecuting him and saying, no, there's no way we are going to bow down before you. But he stuck with it. What God had revealed to him, no matter what he went through in his life, he knew that if God has revealed it, it will come to pass. And eventually, it did come to pass. It did come to pass. And when his brothers later on came into to see him in Egypt, he was next in command to Pharaoh. Oh, I love the magnanimity of his soul. If he had been anybody else, he would have probably pointed out his hands and said, I told you, you people were going to bow down to me, and you didn't listen to me. And now look at what you are doing. I told you. I told you about it. But thanks be to God, he responded and said, God sent me ahead to preserve posterity. I have forgiven you. It wasn't you that sold me out there into the land of Egypt. God sent me ahead. God sent me ahead to preserve. So God revealed to him ahead, but several years later, it came to pass. Genesis chapter 45. Oh, I love to read that. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Genesis 45, let's read from verse 5. It says, and now do not be distressed or angry with yourself because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. What magnanimity of his soul. He sent me ahead. But the point is, by the word of wisdom, God revealed to him years ahead what was going to come in his life. So by the word of wisdom, also God can reveal to us his plan and his purpose. And then another instance is in Acts chapter 21. Acts 21, verse 10 to 14, the word of God to the prophet Agabus. The prophet Agabus. You see, all throughout the Old Testament, we see the word of wisdom manifest in the life of the prophets. And some of it concerning the coming of Jesus. Some of it concerning the end times. Some of it concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. And all through, God was speaking, and God still continues to speak. The Holy Spirit hasn't gone out of business. He's still in the business of speaking. Oh, Acts 21, this was used to prepare people for what was ahead. Acts 21, verse 10. And while we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Oh, he took it and said, whoever owns this thing, that person is going to suffer. But when we hear this, we and the people there urge him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be in prison, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we seized and said, let the will of the Lord be done." Oh, my Lord, he went into Jerusalem, and the first thing that happened was they were ready to stone him. But Agabus, through the Holy Spirit, was giving Paul certain facts in the mind of God as to what will happen. This person that owns this thing, when will be delivered, and the Jews at Jerusalem will take him and treat him very harshly. You notice that he didn't try to tell him what to do. He was just reporting what God said. You see, he wasn't trying to give him guidance through that process. He was just trying to tell him what the Spirit of God is saying. And up to that point, Paul had heard it in other places as well. But he was willing to go ahead and go and suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all of us can be led by the Holy Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit in us to lead us and to guide us. The Holy Spirit is here to lead us and to guide us. So we can experience the revelation of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of wisdom in manifestation sometimes in our own prayer lives. God can lead us and God can guide us as by his Holy Spirit in us. John chapter 16, verse 7. It talks about the Holy Spirit coming and helping us in our day-to-day life. Verse 4. Let's say, "But I've said these things to you," John 16, verse 4, "that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you." Verse 5. "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper would not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And then verse 13 says that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you, notice, the things that are to come. So God, in our own personal lives as well, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can reveal to us what is coming up ahead. He will guide you into some of the truth. No, he will guide you into all the truth and show you things to come. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will begin to take advantage of these things and will begin to see what God has for us, things to come. Another scripture along those lines is Romans chapter 8, verse 14. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, please. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love this. My Lord, I'm getting excited. Hallelujah. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons or children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And notice, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons or children of God. So as sons and children of God, we can expect to be led by God. And how is he going to lead us? He's going to lead us through that inner witness, the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do you know that you are saved? You have that witness in your heart that you are saved. That's what he's saying. He's going to lead you through that inner witness. He's going to guide you in the details, the minor details of life. He's going to lead you and guide you. I remember one time I had two job offers, and both were good. But I couldn't get, it's nice to get two job offers, isn't it? Everybody enjoys that. And you have to decide. And I went to God. I said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me choose which one to go to. I need to know I want to know your will in this matter. I want to know what you want me to do. And after praying for a while, I got that witness. I got that peace on what to do. And so I chose this other job. Not long after, I heard that this other company that was the other job offer that had been presented to me did a mass layoff. Something happened. They were not doing so well. They did a mass layoff and laid a number of people. And if I had been there, I would have been laid off as well. But by God showing me ahead what was coming, I avoided that pitfall. And I was in the right place where he wanted me to be. And it was a great blessing. I was in the right place where he wanted me to be. That is what he's talking about. He will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth, into all reality, another translation puts it. To bring you to the place where you need to be. So when you need direction, when you need guidance in life, you can look up to him and he's right there to help you. Before we move, we knew that born at our wedding. It was when I became a Christian, walking those roads. I said I will preach the gospel in the nations of the world. I'll preach the gospel in America. I'll preach it all over. So before we came, I knew that in my heart. And at our wedding, where the word of wisdom went ahead of us, prophecies and all that went ahead of us as to what we would do. But one day I was praying, and God showed me that when we come here, God, he will put us in touch with a minister or a pastor who will be instrumental in what God is calling us to do in this country. And sure enough, within a few days of landing here, he put us in touch with this pastor. And through him, doors began to open to minister in other places in Colorado and in other churches. We began to do the work of God. That was God giving me advance information on what was ahead. And then later on, 10 years later, God led us to plant this church, and it's worked out so wonderfully and beautiful. We've gone through all the seasons of life, but God has been faithful. God has been faithful. You see, he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. But you have to look up to him and expect him to lead you. Expect him to guide you and reveal to you what is to come. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And are you ready for this? In the life of the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 27, verse 10. Acts chapter 27, verse 10. Glory be to God. Acts chapter 27, verse 10. Oh, our summer. Let's read it. Let's read it. Oh, I love this. I love this portion of scripture. Oh, my Lord. My Lord. This was Paul in his journeys. He says, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. You see, these people were getting ready to leave some part of town and sail for Rome. Paul, notice he says, I perceive by that inner witness, by that revelation, he perceived that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, and not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. Then the people decided that, verse 11, but the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And because the harbor was suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. So they disregarded the only person on there that could help them. Jump to verse 21. We'll see what happens. Oh, Paul gets a word of wisdom as well. Verse 21 says, since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted all those who set sail with you. Verse 25. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. As I have been told. Wherefore says, I believe God. You should have listened to me and not departed. But regardless, tonight I got a word from heaven. How sometimes we need a word from heaven. I got a word from God. An angel of the Lord, number one, whose I am and whom I serve. He knew the one that he belonged to, and he knew the one that he served.